This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
So children are a blessing, children are a responsibility. And among those three things were Walad Salih ibn Rajab, a pious child that makes dua for him. So our children are a huge investment. And I just want you to reflect on how much money and time and effort and hardship and emotional distress you go through during your child's life. You spend a huge amount of your time. You spend an absolutely huge amount of your energy, a huge amount of your problems come from things related to your children. Allah Azza wa Jalla described the wealth and the children in jihad as a fitna. Inna amwalukum wa awladukum fitna. All of this energy and all of this effort and all of this time for the sake of what? What do you hope to achieve from it? People want to have children because they want to have a legacy, they want to leave something behind. If they're thinking in terms of the dunya, they want to leave behind them, you know, their name and their lineage and their family and their traditions. But if they're thinking in terms of the akhirah, they want to leave behind good deeds that will continue. Sadaqah from jariyah that will continue. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on his return from Taif, when the people rejected him and they threw stones at him and they called him names, he was approached by the angel of the mountains, who told him that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him permission that he was to be given a choice. If he wished, the angel of the mountains would take the mountains surrounding Makkah and crush the city of Makkah and kill all of the people within, and that he would not be blamed for it. And if he wished, he can overlook the harms that came from him. So what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam choose? He chose not to destroy the people of Makkah. And he said, perhaps Allah will take from their offspring a people who will worship Allah Azza wa Jalla alone. Or a people who will say la ilaha illallah. Imagine this. The whole of the city rejects the messengers of Allah. We have so much corruption and worship of idols. But the hope is that something better will come from their children. And therefore your children are an opportunity for the future of the world, for the future of the Ummah, for the future of Islam, even if you are deficient. There is a hope that the children will be able to achieve something more than that which you achieve. So now we know why it's so important to take care of our children. We know that we're going to be asked on the day of judgment. None of us will be able to leave that place until we are asked about our responsibilities. And one of those responsibilities is our children. So if we have all of these things to bear in mind, then there's no doubt that our children have a particular place of importance in our lives, especially when we think about the fact that our children can either be a huge benefit, a huge investment, a huge asset, but like any investment, they can also turn sour. Like when you invest in a business, it can make you millions, and he can lose you a large amount of money too. So your children, like this investment, they can gain you a lot. They can gain you so many good deeds that a person comes on the day of judgment and he says to Allah, where did all of this come from? And he's told that all of this came from his child. peace in his childhood, the dua that his children made for him, raised his rank in general to such a degree that he sees all of these good deeds and he doesn't know where they come from. But likewise, the corruption of a person's children and the problems that they can cause can take a person far away from Islam. So it's extremely, extremely important that we deal with the topic of our children. And I've talked about it before. We've talked about tarbiyah, we've talked about other issues. But what we want to talk about today is the topic of education. Because education plays a massive role in the success of this investment that we make in our children versus the failure of it. A huge part of that is down to education. Massive part of that is down to our children's education. And there are two major problems that I want to address tonight that most people ask about. A lot of people say, how do we reconcile between the desire for us to have pious and upright children and the need for our children to have an education in terms of the world we live? Lots of people ask this question. But what we want to address today are two of the major problems that people are suffering with their children's education today. And above that, I feel that they are the biggest problems that we face. And we face them regardless of the type of school that our children go to. Although some schools are worse than others, and some schools are better than others. And some systems are worse than others, and some systems are better than others. These two problems are the heart of the issue. They are, first of all, the content. And secondly, the environment. So the content of what our children learn. That is dealing with issues in school where they learn things that are incompatible with Islam or things that will harm them in their religion. The content. And this could be learning about evolution. This could be learning about issues of intimacy at a young age, which is obviously a problem in many Western countries where they teach this to very young children. It could be learning about other religions. It could be learning things that distract them from the religion. Learning the habit of putting the religion second and the dunya first. All of these are problems with the content of what our children learn. And the second problem that we have is the environment. And that is that even if the content is correct, so we send our children to a good Islamic school that doesn't teach them immorality, and it doesn't teach them shirk, and it doesn't teach them all of these sort of false disbelief and atheism, content from atheism and the things that lead to atheism. But still you have to deal with the environment. And even if your children go to the best Islamic school in the world, they still have other children around them. They're still surrounded by other people, and those other people influence your children. Your teachers influence, or the children's teachers influence them. The children's friends influence them. The environment they are in influences them. So we have a problem of content, we have a problem of environment. This problem is greater or lesser in different systems, and I'm going to talk to you about some of the different systems that exist for teaching the children, so like Islamic schools, homeschooling. We're going to talk about all these things tonight in the lifetime. But one way or another, you have to deal with these problems in your child's life. You have to deal with the problem of the environment, you have to deal with the problem of the content that your child learns, to a greater or a lesser degree. Yes, there are some schools better than others. But I want to start with a warning to the parents. So many parents are living in a state of ghafla, a state of complete unawareness about what their children are exposed to and what their children learn and what their children do. terms of some of the haram that they are involved in, and some of these kids, I think it's going to good Islamic schools. I'm not going to mention the schools because there's no benefit in that, but I'm going to tell you the best of the best Islamic schools in the UAE. And we know that these kids are into drugs and alcohol and women and watching pornography and so on and so on. And I'm not talking about 15, 16 year olds. I'm talking about young kids from the age of 10 years old, 11 years old. Wallahi, just 3 weeks ago or 2 weeks ago, I came across this situation from a kid who's probably 12 years old.
Safe on the planet of Allah except the loser.
conclusion because this is from me. The ways that the scholars of Islam, of Allah in general, when our scholars, our teachers used to teach us things, we would start with something general and then we would go to something massive. So I'm going to tell you the general solution to the problem of our children's education. The general solution is really simple, and it's two words only. Take control. Two words. Take control. Stop outsourcing your children's life to somebody else. Stop outsourcing your children's coming to the maid. Stop outsourcing your children's education to their teacher at school. And take all of the reins yourself and take responsibility yourself. Now that doesn't mean taking your children out of school, although I'm going to talk about homeschooling later on. Because not everybody can take their children out of school. But it means taking control. Too many people, we outsource our children's education, first of all, to the shaitan via the television, and YouTube, and the internet. So we put our children like a babysitter, we switch on the TV, and we sit our children in front of the TV, and we allow the television to educate our children about what is halal and what is haram, about what is fun and what is not. We outsource our children's education to the television or the internet or whatever it is, the tablet or whatever it is. Everything your child picks up, and when do you think is the most dangerous time? How many of you in your head are thinking, well, the most dangerous time is when they're at college, because that's when they meet the girls? The most dangerous time in your child's life are the early years. The time in the Havana, the time in the nursery, when your child is 2 years old, or 3 years old, or 4 years old. By the time they reach 5 years old, huge percentages of their outlook on life and their desires and their hopes and dreams and everything is formed already. So the first mistake we make is not at 5 years old. The first mistake we make is when we put our children in front of the TV at 2 years old. That's the first mistake we make. And that's the biggest loss at that time. Because those are the formative years. Those are the years where the majority of likes and dislikes and the majority of opinions are formed. Even if they're not, it's not on an edge. Start
treating your children's education the same way. Every day you want to know, what did you do in school? What did you learn? What are you teaching my kids? Which alphabet? Which method? Are you teaching them with machines? Are you using music? Are you using songs? Do you have pictures in the nursery? You want to know every last detail, because now you want to be in control. What your children did during the day, you sit down with your children like you sit down with your employees. How many of your supervisors at work do you sit down with your employee on a regular basis? You say to them, what have you achieved? How are you progressing on this project? What did you do with this? How did you overcome this? You take control. And this is what you need to do with regards to your children's education. Take control. Know the details. What books? What are in them? What stories? What are the kids doing? What are they experiencing? And to do this, you have to have something very, very important. And that is, you have to have a friendship with your children. Because children, they talk to their friends. And if you can be like a friend to your child, they'll talk to you. They'll tell you about what they experienced in school. Because we often laugh when we do interviews for children at Canada programs. We say to them, how is your school? And they say, it's really good. We say, what do you do? They say, just describe things. We say, what do you study in the Quran? What do you do in your spare time? I like to read the Quran. Do you play video games? Video games, what are they? No, this is what we get from the children. 2 weeks later, it's a different story. You have to break through that barrier of that false impression your children give by rewarding them for telling you the truth, not telling you what you want to hear. Too many people, they like to teach their children to tell them what they want to hear. Did you pray today? Yes. Because you want to hear it, and you teach your children very good, take this. But instead, what we want to encourage our children to do, if they didn't pray, did you pray today? Yes. Are you sure you prayed today? I'm not going to be angry if you didn't, just tell me the truth. Okay, I missed it. Okay, why did you miss it? I was playing with my friends. Okay, so can we improve each other and do something to stop this happening again? Inshallah. Okay, I'm still going to give you that present that I promised you. Because you were honest with me and you told me the truth. I'm not saying you shouldn't get angry if your child misses God, of course you should. But there's a greater benefit to be had here. There's a greater muscle. That is, you've got to teach your children that it's okay to tell you the truth. And once you do that, you build that relationship with your kids, it's okay to tell me what happened. It's okay to tell me if something went wrong. It's okay if you didn't do the right thing. We can work on it, but just tell me the truth. And this way you develop that relationship where you can really exercise some influence over your body. So now we're going to come back to the detailed answer. We have two really big problems. We have the problem of the content, we have the problem of the environment. We're going to deal with the content first. I personally believe there are lots of problems with content. One of them is maybe you can say, my school is not teaching my children anything about Islam. They teach them much about mathematics and science and physics and everything, but when it comes to Islam, they get one lesson a week. It's not enough. Another problem with content would be that maybe you're not happy with the quality of this kind of content, or they're teaching something hard, or something immoral, or something which contradicts Islam. I believe the solution to this problem of content is essentially one solution when it has varying degrees of severity or varying degrees of implementation. The solution is you have to set your own curriculum for your child to follow. You have to set your own curriculum for your child to follow.
Number two, at least
this is the best way, is then you start to learn yourself and teach your children at the same time. You say, I don't know Arabic. No matter what, give you a wonderful suggestion. Why don't you and your child learn Arabic together at home? So you sit down like you're the teacher with the whiteboard, or maybe your child knows more Arabic than you. So they sit with the whiteboard and you sit with the students with the pen and the paper, you say, teach me. There's something else that happens when you do this. And that is that the relationship between you and your child blossoms, it flowers, it becomes like a strong relationship because you're spending time together. Someone says, but I work 12 hours a day, no problem. Homeschooling doesn't have to have a, you don't just have to start at 9 a.m. and finish at 5. No issue. Start with 1 hour after Fajr. Start with them after Isha when you get back home. Just do half an hour a day. Because you're not taking them out of school yet. That's a decision some people will make. And I recommend it to every person who is able to do it. The best decision I have made with my child's education, by the grace of Allah and His mercy, is taking them out of school and putting them into home school. But it's hard, it's not for everyone. How do you start? You start by taking control. Even when they're in school, you've got control of what they're learning, what they're studying, their homework, how they're progressing. And this deals with the issue of content. In how we do this, number one, you set your own content, and if you go online, there are literally thousands of websites. I used to go on a couple of, I used to pay like $5 a month and get all worksheets, curriculum, classroom lessons, lesson plans, everything printed and ready to go. The only thing I bought was a new printer. And then start taking control of this, of my kids' education. Then when it came to my daughter, she was homeschooled from the beginning because we already had the experience of one. But even if you're homeschooled, at least even if you just spend an hour or 2 hours a week sitting with them, going over what they learned in school and talking about how you can improve it, how you can progress, what are you going to see? I found 2 things across all the parents of this. Number one, Islamically, or 3 things. Number one, Islamically, you're going to see that your child improves massively, inshallah. Number two, academically, and this is where the shock is, academically, you will see your child improve. You want your child to get top of the class results? Sit with your child and help them to get them. Instead of just bringing a tutor, or bringing someone in, or bringing someone in, or getting someone to do it, you go do it yourself. And you'll see academically your child starts to improve. Because they're getting one-to-one tuition from the best teacher that every child can have. The teacher that Allah created with that relationship, the parent-child relationship. So you're teaching your children. Even if you're supplementing their Islamic education, you don't know it, you're learning with them. And then you're challenging the content which is un-Islamic from their school. And again, you soon see some schools are better than others, and you'll make the decision that because the child is doing so well academically, I can afford to move them from the school which is less Islamic to a school which is more Islamic, and they have less high quality academic education in terms of secular studies as well as quality. But because I'm teaching my child myself, I can supplement that with them. So now I'm moving my child from a school which is amazing in math and English and terrible in Islamic studies to one that is mediocre in math and English but really good in Islamic studies because I'm taking care of the math and English at home. Or I've got, you know, people involved who are doing it. You can pull together resources. You know, a couple of parents together who want to do the same thing, and again, you pull your resources together, you help each other, you work together, and you start to challenge the things that are wrong with the education your children are receiving from outside. There's no one answer. The answer is not for everyone to homeschool their children. But the answer is simply for everyone to take control. And then from there, some
Not even
went astray. Why is it that my child has left the son? Why is it that my child is not here? You still put your child in that environment. You know, you have to choose the best of the available options. Okay, if you say to me, homeschooling is not an option for me, no problem, I agree with you. It's not an option for most people. But you still have a choice of what environment you put your children in. You have a choice of what school. You have a choice of, you know, sort of the ethics and the morals and the kind of the environment that your kids are in, what friends they have around you outside of school. You have a choice. So start by putting them in the best environment that you can manage. Fattakullah mastata'tum. Fear Allah is not just a plan. Put your children in the best environment you can manage. You can't manage homeschooling, no problem. Put them in the best Islamic school that you can manage. You can't manage an Islamic school that's literally nothing around you. Put them in the best non-Islamic school that you can find. Don't put them in the worst one and say, well, everyone has to endure hardship. Everyone has to, you know, in the world of work, in the world, everyone has to mix with people who don't follow Islam, so you find me as well, not any now. This is a very, very foolish argument. Give them the best that you can to stop them. Number two, we mentioned this before, don't be naive. Don't presume because they're homeschooled, they're not doing something haram, or because they are in a good Islamic school, they're not doing something haram. Don't be naive. Our children are using anything. Wallahi, and I consider myself to be very good with technology. Like, I'm up to date with technology. But still, these kids are using like hundreds of apps that I've never heard of. You know, means of chatting, phrases, communication, means of sending messages that, like, it's just like foreign to me. So you have to be now on the ball a little. You have to be aware of how your children are communicating, what they're using, what they're doing. Now it's better to do this with their cooperation. It's better than spying on it. Sometimes you have to be, I'm not saying you have to spy, but you have to be aware. You have to be on the ball. You have to be sharp. But at the same time, it's good to tell them, look, you know, you use this computer, I'm gonna check for you. You know, I check for your internet history from time to time. Don't mind, I'm not. It's not that I don't trust you, but I don't want to give the shaitan a way for you to go astray. So, you know, from time to time, I'm going to check what you're watching, I'm going to check what you're looking at, I'm going to check your internet history. And just, you know, like, don't be honest with them. You know, like, I'm not telling you, I'm not doing something secret. I'm just telling you that this is what we're going to do. Have the computer and the phone in the living room where everybody can see what's being done. Because again, most of the problems I've seen on the technology side of the kids and the environment and stuff has been through. They've got access to a tablet in their bedroom, they've got access to a tablet, you know, places where they can be alone. This is a problem. So you don't be naive. Don't presume because you know the way that you used to do things, you used to pass paper notes in class, things have gone from there. There are a lot of things that our kids use to communicate, things that our kids get exposed to. Again, with regard to, let's call it immorality, not nice things, haram, sort of what we call fahisha, moral, filthy things. Don't presume because my kid's only 11, they haven't seen anything. Don't presume because my kid doesn't stare at him. Women in the street, he hasn't seen anything. Starts at that age, and then when they reach puberty, it gets worse. So again, don't be naive about the environment. Presume the worst, and then find a solution for it. Number three, with regard to the environment. Control the environment that you do have some authority over. So you might not have authority over who your child mixes with at school, but you definitely have authority over who your child mixes with. So if you can't change their friends at school, you can definitely influence their friends at home. that this can have a knock-on effect in your barriers. Some parents are getting very defeated. They turn around and they say, I can't control my children or friends with at school, so I'm not going to do it. Let them go out with who they want, or let them go out with who they want at school. If you can't achieve 100%, at least achieve 50, at least achieve 60. So control, influence what you can. The next point, with regard to the environment, talk to your children about what they experience and be honest with them. Talk to them about what you used to experience at school. Talk to them when you get into a situation which is not very good. Maybe you're out in the hall, there's something inappropriate on a billboard. You know, like, use the issue to sort of say, oh, stuff for a lot of people. We should lower our gaze to these kinds of things, and this is not right for a Muslim. And, you know, look at how this is. I bet you see this kind of stuff in school. And you open the issue with you. Because if you don't start talking to them, you're never going to know what the problem really is and what the situation is. Encourage them to be honest and teach them the value of fearing Allah rather than fearing you. Too many parents bring their children up to fear them. They bring their children up to fear them. Meaning, don't do that, your dad might catch you. Don't do that, your mom might see. Don't do that, your dad might beat you up. But that's teaching them to fear you and not teaching them to fear Allah as such. So it's extremely important that you try to encourage them with tarbiyah, with teaching, with Islam, to fear Allah, not to fear you. And that's not an easy thing to do. That's an easy thing to say and a hard thing to do, but should be an aspiration that you have. That it's not like, don't do that, your dad might catch you. Just don't do that, Allah might punish you. And it's also down to the role model or the example you set for kids. The example you set for kids. And that is that when they see you, do they see you fearing Allah? Or are you like, don't tell your mom, she might see me. If you're teaching your kids, you're like, don't tell your mom about this, don't tell your mom about that, because she might get angry with me. You're teaching your kids to fear people instead of Allah. That's an important point. And another point which I think is extremely important about the environment is that if you, again, if you feel that you don't have that relationship with your children, put your children in contact with people who do. Might be a family member, like your brother maybe, you know, their uncle, or you know their Islamic teacher, or whatever. But you give your children people they can confide in and talk to. So the hope is that even if they don't talk to you about the problem, they're going to talk to you. Someone else.
Empty, you're going to see there's lots of things you can do to improve the situation.
There's lots of very small changes you can make, which will instantly improve. And you also see the situation of what the importance of planning. When do you start planning? Soon as you know you're going to have a child. Soon as your wife comes back and says, I think I'm pregnant. That's the time to start planning. But how are we going to educate our children? What schools are we going to send them to? How are we going to mitigate some of these negative issues that exist? Lots and lots of things that you can do. I'm a big fan of homeschooling, a massive fan of homeschooling. But I also know that it's not for everyone, not everybody can do it. But I know that everyone can take control of what their children are learning. Everyone can start to ask their kids and talk to them and challenge what they learn. But to do that, you've got to spend time with them. Everybody can be more of an active parent instead of a passive parent. Someone who is involved in what their kids are doing every day. Someone who talks to them. Someone who knows what they're watching, what they're listening to, and who they're talking to. If you can't control their friends at school, you control their friends at home. And through this process, when you're striving for the sake of Allah, Allah SWT helps, opens a door for you to be able to do things that you wouldn't imagine. And so this is, I guess, a topic which I feel is extremely important. I don't just think it's important for us here in UAE. I think it's important for every single person in the world. Because all of us, you know, more or less, the vast majority of us have children, or are thinking of having children, or trying to have children. And it's a problem in almost every country in the world, bar none. So we have to start coming up with unique solutions. We can't wait until they open the perfect Islamic school next door to my house with amazing teachers and amazing children where nobody does anything except that which pleases Allah. This utopia is not going to happen. So you can't keep waiting for it. It's going to be maybe next year. Make the best of what you have. Plan for it. Think about it. Listen to your children. Spend time with them. Learn from them. Teach them. And ultimately, take control. So that you're able to influence your child's education in the way that you influence other things, like their personality, like their, you know, their likes and their dislikes, and their character and their manners, just like you're an influence to these, but also an influence to their education. And like I said, I believe if you do it, you will find that your children excel academically. And I have two evidences for that. One is the eye of the Quran, one is experience. Experience tells us that when you are more involved in your child's education and you're more hands-on, the child does academically get better grades. But Allah has said, what does this in the Quran? وَاتَّقُوا wa وَيُعَلِّمُكُمْ Have taqwa of Allah and Allah will teach you. Allah will teach you everything you need in this dunya and after. To do that, all you have to do is fear Allah. So you have to fear Allah with regard to your children's education. So Allah will teach them what will benefit. And then you'll see that your children will grow up to be everything you dreamed of in the dunya. As well as being an investment for you in the akhirah, and as well as saleh, a pious child that continues to earn good deeds for you, even after you pass away. So these are just some thoughts. It's a big topic. I think it's something that we have to deal with. And I hope it's something that will inspire people to go on and think for themselves and plan for themselves and find their own ways. I mean, the last thing I have to conclude with is that, you know, I'm sitting here as if I've got everything right in order for my child's education, but not at all. I'm constantly changing the way I teach, the things I teach them, whether I do Islamic studies or not, the timings, the books, the methods, whether they go to like school or whatever it is, or not, whatever, whether I teach them. Things are always changing. Life is a process of learning. You're always learning. But until you take control and try to do it, you will not be able to benefit and learn. lectures answered some of the questions that the brothers have been asking about how to get started in homeschooling. I hope that that has also answered some of those questions as well.
But it's based on maths. It's based on you have to have good
quality. You have to have good skills in maths, you have to have good skills in various human branches of economy, geometry and all these other things. You have to be able to problem solve, you have to be able to work under pressure, and all of these other things that they say you have to be able to apply them. Those are things you can teach your children in the same methods that you're talking about. You can teach them to be amazing mathematicians, you can teach them to be amazing at working under pressure, you can teach them amazing hand-eye coordination. I don't know if that's what you need to be a pilot, but that's what you can teach them. So maybe the final step, you know, they need to go to, you know, one of these institutions and universities, but ultimately, it's up to you to sort of decide how to get there, and to ask as many questions as possible along the way, and to try to get the best out of the situation possible along the way. And I honestly advise this one. And the reason why I was asking that question, why they want them and you want them to be there, is because I believe that the best way to mold your child's career is to start with the career itself. Too many people, they say, right, you know, comes to child's university age, and they say to the child, you know, you should go into accountancy, because you've got a good way in maths, and it's really good. Accountancy is really good. You should be an accountant. And then they become an accountant, and they come to my office and they say, Tim, I can't find a halal job. All of it's river. And I'm like, you know, I'm just calculating river for people. And I have to deal with loans, and I have to apply for loans from the bank. I have to do these audits of loans for companies, and it's all river. Sometimes the problem is, in terms of career advice, that we pick the wrong career in the first place. We pick a career that involves lots of harm, but involves some prestige. And yet there are careers that pay better, that give a better salary, which involve far less harm. I'm not saying you don't have to be an accountant, by the way. I'm giving an example of something I came across recently. But you can apply to anything. Somebody says, you know, I want my child to be a doctor. What? Doctors work ridiculously long hours for what is comparatively low pay. For lots and lots and lots of years, often have to compromise on their ibadah, often struggle with regards to issues of marriage because of the hours that they work and raising a family and all these other issues, and then at the end of their life they earn very little money after they progress to a very high thing. Really? You want your children to do that? Why? Because it's got prestige, because your auntie and uncle are going to think that, mashallah. Why? No, why would you do that? And you have to ask yourself that question. And sometimes the answer is surprising. Sometimes you start with a career, go backwards, and you think, subhanAllah, I want my child to do this. I want my child to be an entrepreneur, for example, because this has the best chance of them having a halal income in a way that it's suitable for them, for example. Work backwards, you start thinking, well, what skills do they need? And then you start thinking, well, maybe they don't need a college degree, they need lots of experience. And you work backwards. And sometimes you'll be surprised at the results you get when you do that. Yes, there are certain core skills like English and maths and science. These are certain core skills in every field, you know, you need it in almost every field. But after that, when your child talks about career, be sensible. Yeah, it's about how much you earn, but it's also about the risk of being halal. Work backwards. Think about what it is that you want your children to do and be a bit intelligent about it.
These things you said are quite interesting for boys. But when you have four girls, for example, and especially when the girls start getting to 8-9 years old, they need to learn about menstruation and how to do feminine activities. Don't you think the mother is best to even start the whole schooling so that it gets really close to the mother?
Definitely. I think with regard to boys and girls, both boys and girls need both parents. I think it's a misconception that girls need their mother and boys need their father. I think boys and girls need both parents. Men and women have very different qualities. Naturally. And both those qualities are needed, the child takes different things from different people. So when I talk about you getting involved, I'm talking about the sisters as well as the brothers, I'm talking about everybody. You know, with my kids, it's a collaborative effort. 90% my wife and 10%. No, it's a collaborative effort between me and my wife. For the boys and for the girls. Because the girls, you're right, the boys need certain things, but also the girls need certain things. The girls start learning about things relating to women. And what do we want from our, you know, boys and girls? We want our boys to be boys and our girls to be girls. We're not into this scary, you know, gender equality thing. You know, we want boys to be boys and girls to be girls. And boys to be successful and girls to be successful. And our boys to be educated and our girls to be educated. And yes, the mother has a father. Getting the mother involved and seeing the mother, spending time with the mother, learning from the mother, but also the girls learning from the father as well. They learn those qualities. They can follow the Allah and learn so much from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They used to say nobody resembled the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam more than her. In the way that she sat, in the way that she walked, in the way that she spoke, nobody resembled the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam more than her. So again, it's the lesson that from the mom side, from the dad side, I mean, we're going to be super
important. We actually have thought a lot about homeschooling and we met a lot of people who really feel like that either are doing it or they are doing it or doing it much more than they are. We found most of them actually are coming from Europe / US.
There were some trailblazers, there were some people who did this before everyone. graduate. Okay, my child has to have a certificate from school, they have to have a certificate from university. Okay. But let's look at other ideas and options, and let's look at what other people are doing to get some inspiration. And the third thing is, just because your child has to go to school, I'm not saying that every child has to be taken out of school. In fact, I believe that for the majority of Muslims, they cannot take their children out of school. They cannot, it's impossible. So for these people, what can we say? Make the best of what you have. Partially homeschool them, you know, at least take care of the Islamic side. Until Allah Azza wa Jalla makes a way for you, until Allah Azza wa Jalla makes a way for you out of the problem that you are in. And that's not a perfect answer. That's only a half an answer. But it's a start. Believe that Allah will make for you a way if you fear. Look for opportunities and don't just resign yourself to whatever else is going on. Look for opportunities because you'll be shocked how many opportunities there are if you look for it. And number three, even if you can't do 100%, for example, start out. Fear Allah as much as you can. If you can't do 100%, okay, so do 50%. If you can't do 50%, do 20%. If you can't do 20%, do 10%. For example, Allah start out. And I really believe that if we all took care of our children's education, even if we sent them to the worst state school in the world, it would still be better than if we were in a state of unawareness and we were just giving them that we don't know what they're studying, we don't know how to take control of it. So sometimes it is very hard. And that's why I'm not one of those people who believes that everybody has to homeschool their children, but I just believe that everybody has to take control to do their best to be able to get the most out of the circumstances they're in and never close their mind to the opportunities that might present themselves one way or another.
Can you recommend some of the homeschooling institutes or websites you have experienced as per your experience, number one? And number two, their certificates, will they be accepted by the government or the institutes over here?
Okay, the way these websites work, and maybe I'll just post them. But these websites, the way they work is, they just provide your grade. They don't certify your children. They don't give them a grade. The grades come from the country that you are in. And now, in the UK, you can submit your child's external candidate. That means that basically your child sits the exam in the school, like the other children do, but they don't attend the school. In the Middle East, this is sometimes called intisab. But intisab has a lesser standard in many places in the Middle East. And you can see it's like a very low standard. And in public, the one who attends the school gets high quality certificate. But in the UK, the US, and other countries, there's no difference between the certificate that you need. So you teach your child yourself, and then you send them to their school for the exams. Now, I'm not an expert on how this works for every country. I know the UK because that's like where I'm from. But I don't know how it works for other countries. Some countries it's not possible. Some countries might accept foreign students as an external candidate. So for example, check it out. Is it possible for me to send my child, with a British passport to a school in the US to give an exam? Or a school in France, or a school, these are the questions you have to ask. These websites, they provide you curriculum, they provide you worksheets, they provide you lesson plans, they teach you how to teach your children, but they don't examine your children and then give them certificates. You have to do that through the country that you are either from, or the country that you're living in, or the country, a third party country which accepts foreign students as, you know, whatever you can do.
I want to know if it's appropriate to start homeschooling and go on until a certain age or a certain grade and then put them into the normal curriculum. It's not, the question is not from the acceptability of the school or the curriculum that they would accept the student at a later stage, but is it appropriate to experiment something like this?
Very, very good question. As I said, Is it appropriate to homeschool my child and then later on put them into a regular school? For me, I'll promise you, all options are open. If you're going to do this, you've got to have every option on the table. You can't be a person who says, look, I'm a purist, I homeschool my children, I don't send them to school, I don't give them exams, I can get some of these purist homeschoolers who want to, I don't give them exams, I don't want them to touch the education system, I don't want them. That's not practical in the world, especially if the brother was talking about in different countries. It's just not practical. So maybe if you say, look, my country, the last age they will accept my child to enter school is 12 years old. So I'm going to homeschool my child until then, and then put them in school at that time. That has dangers, of course, because you're taking them from a very good environment to a very bad one very quickly. But at the end of the day, every option has to come across. For me, what I've learned from this, and from helping parents do it, is I've learned there is no one answer. What fits you doesn't fit the brother. What fits him doesn't fit you. You have to keep every option on the table. And if that means you homeschool them for a year and send them to school for a year, if that's what works for your child, for your country, for your certificate that you want for them, then that's something that you can think about. It has its dangers. But then again, so does putting them in school from beginning to end also. So ultimately, for me, nothing is off. Nothing is off the table. Everything is off. Putting them in school and taking them out, putting them in, taking them out for a year and sending them to the Chinese. And then putting them back in. All of these are options, but you have to look at the pros and cons and what the positives and negatives might be, and then adjust them for your child and your circumstances. Okay, I think we'll wrap up there, guys. I think the last question is the best to capture on the page. Marriage is a whole different topic. In terms of, we need a whole lecture to talk about it. But it's important that parents, I'll just make this comment, it's important that parents are in touch with their children. You know, sometimes our children, 20 years old, 22 years old, they need to get married. And they're telling you they need to get married, but you're not tuned into the signal. Until they end up doing something which is hard and it upsets you and it upsets them. So it's important with regard to your children that you're in tune. What are they experiencing? What are they feeling? What are they going through? Talk to them about marriage. You know, even if you can't, even if you feel my child is not suitable for them to marry now, maybe they're 16, 17, you think it's not suitable for them, but at least talk to them. Say, you know what, I'm in favor of you getting married, really, don't worry. Now it's a little bit better, but why would we do this? You focus on this, you focus on your college. In your first year, second year, you start to look for someone for you. And suddenly the child thinks, okay, you know, it's not what I wanted. I wanted to marry at 17. But now my parents are telling me that they're going to start looking for me at 19. But still, you know, I can fast, I can wait for them. You know, they feel that there's some connection there with the parents. But the difficulty is when the parent says, no, when you finish your PhD, and you know, you get your job, then you can get married. When you have your own house, you can get married. When you have, this creates a big problem. So it's about, like, the parents' work.